Welcome to Tips from the Server Room. This podcast is designed for all you systems admins, network specialists, or the guys and gals out there in the office who handles it all. Sit back, relax, grab a beverage, and enjoy Tips from the Server Room. Hey, yes, welcome back once again to Tips from the Server Room. This is episode number 11 for August the 27th, 2013. First, folks, if you get a chance, please stop by my website at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. You can comment on all of these episodes, and I'd like to hear your feedback to let me know how I'm doing, and if you're enjoying these shows and if they're actually helping you at all. That would be a great help to me. Also, you can call and leave voicemail. By all means, at 724-701-0911. Or you can just simply email me. Send your emails to jackstechcorner@gmail.com. So today I have two topics we're going to be discussing on this show. And these topics are very, very important and very critical. It's a critical mission show this week. I wanted to, you know, kind of put that out, I guess. Critical mission. And what we're talking about here tonight is two really important parts of your server room, but not actually servers. And what we're talking about tonight is, first, we're going to talk about climate control. You got to control that atmosphere. And actually, we're talking, secondly, about backup batteries and how those are configured. And I got some great tips for you of what you need to do with those backup batteries and how to actually take care of your equipment by investing in decent batteries. So first, folks, let's go on to our first part of the show here is climate control. Now, the one thing that a lot of us do, and I know our server racks, and I should have probably got some pictures today of them, the server racks are actually pushed up against the wall. And that was designed way before me. They actually just had the servers in open racks at one time. And they had them stuck in there up, you know, all the backs are against the wall. So where's your heat going? Your heat's going hitting the wall and it's coming right back into those servers. So you don't want that to happen. What you want to happen is you want that heat to be able to dissipate out of that rack and go into your room. And then you want a cooling mechanism to cool that air that's surrounding those servers. That is the premium way to do things. If you want to see the best atmospheric climate control I've ever seen, go to YouTube and look up some videos on the Google server rooms and how they're built. They are amazing how they do these things. They're in individual tractor trailers, trucks, you know, the trailer part. They're in the individual boxes, and they're pushed back into this big, big, massive warehouse. And inside there is all their servers. But their servers are almost like motherboards pushed into racks. So they're getting the ultimate cooling around those. There's no cases in them. And then they have those units refrigerated individually. That's pretty amazing. And that's pretty intense. But you got to imagine the amount of heat that those servers are creating at Google. I mean, that's a lot of traffic. But for your own servers, the first thing you want to do is make sure our server racks are in the middle of the room. And you need to do that. You need to get the wiring not across the floor. We need to get the wiring across the top with wiring control racks to make sure everything is nice and clean. Next thing is your servers, and I know ours, they are during most part of the year, but some parts we actually have desks in there because it's so cool that we actually work in our server room sometimes. But the servers and racks should be in their own room. Now, you need to do this because it needs to be closed off. It needs to have doors on the room. I've seen a lot of people put these server rooms up and actually put cages. You remember when you was in high school probably where they had the ball cages or the equipment cages. We even had them in the military. We had equipment cages for like backpacks and stuff where you'd put everything in there and just lock it with a padlock. They were open cages. And those are open for a reason because they want air to get into that sporting equipment or whatever. Your servers, you want to have a sealed room because you don't want that dust and you don't want that air to collect in there, the bad air. You have to control that atmosphere. So what you want to do is you want to have a room built with four solid walls, and you want to make sure that you have an access door to that room. And we'll get into server securities or network security. We'll talk about that one night. That could be a whole other show. But what we did on our rooms is we actually put controlled padlocks, combination key locks on the doors themselves. And that way we have access, but we have very tight control access to the server rooms. You don't want somebody going in the server room pulling out cables or something or pushing a power button on a server to be funny. So you got to make sure you control that access to that server room. The next part of it, you have to have air conditioning. All right, there's no way around it. If you're working for a company, and I worked for a company like this when I first started, their server was actually sitting on the floor. It was the most comical thing I've ever seen. In the business office, it was sitting on the floor next to the wall with the keyboard sitting there and the monitor sitting on. Everything was on the floor, literally. You had to sit on the floor to add users into Active Directory. And I inquired, I said, why is that on the floor? Why would you have that sitting on the floor? And they told me that it was the best logical place to put that server because the person that ran it was one of the finance people. And that happens. And if you're in a business like that, I understand. That's kind of what these shows are built around, helping systems administrators and that person that is called the tech person in a job, but maybe you never went to school for it. So, you know, we want to help you out also with these shows. But you need to have that in a separate room. It needs to be sealed off, and it needs to have its own air conditioning unit. Its own air conditioning unit. I was in one company where the server room was built. There was walls around it with an open ceiling architecture. Now, what they did was the air conditioning in the room worked its way into the server room, but that air conditioning was also cooling the people outside that little room, and those folks got cold often, and they would turn the air conditioning down. Or up, whichever way you look at. They would make it warmer in the room. And when they made it warmer in the room, what happened was they were taking the air conditioning away from the servers. So your servers have to have a solid room. Don't do one of those false ceiling things to save money. Tell your CEO or your CFO that you need the cash. The servers are making your company money. And whatever makes your company money, you have to keep it running. That's very, very critical. Wonder if you ran a bus company and you didn't ever change the oil in the buses. Those buses are making the money. Servers are making the money. We have to take care of these things and we have to treat them properly or they're going to overheat and they're just going to die on you. And then guess what? That critical mission server is no longer working. You're losing time. You're losing money in man hours because your people are no longer doing any work. The next thing, if you're building a server room, the best opportune thing to do if you're building a server room is to have raised floors. And again, I refer back to those Google videos because those tractor trailer trucks actually have floors in them and they're graded floors. The reason they do that is so it can pull air under the room basically and pull it through the room. So it's acting as a big old case for all those servers. You can do the same thing because there's climate control floors you can put in your server room. That is going to cost you money, and I've never had them before, and I've been just fine. I haven't had to worry about any of that, so you'd be just fine with it. So don't worry about not having those raised floors. But if you're building a new architecture, a new space, then you should put the raised floors in so the air can come through those floors and up through your server racks and have a ventilation system so that air actually goes back outside of that room. You don't want that air staying in there, that stale air, because this will bring us to our next part of our topic here, next part of our discussion, why you don't want that. You want good ventilation to clear that room out to get that stale air out of there. Now, that is your server room. That can actually be taken care of, and that's going to work for your server room. Folks, if you have any questions, I see a lot of people coming into the room here tonight to watch tips from the server room, and I appreciate you stopping by. By all means, jump in the chat room here. We're using the Justin TV chat. If you have any questions about your servers, we're talking right now about climate control, and then we're going into the backup battery section, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about your backup batteries and how to better control those. Now, once you have all this taken care of and your climate control is done, your room is built, we have a solid room, we have our server racks, and I've seen this happen too. Don't buy bread racks, okay? You don't want to use bread racks. You don't want to go to Home Depot and buy those racks that you would put your tools on or your totes on. Buy actual server racks. You can find these things on eBay anymore, pretty inexpensive. We actually bought ours. We have one rack, and we bought that rack system with the doors and the side panels. I bought the whole nine yards. We got that rack from Dell. Dell has pretty good deals. I mean, you know what? They're priced to be priced. I mean, you need the thing. You need the rack system. Make sure it's big enough to hold all your gear. And we bought ours big enough to actually expand with us. And when as you're expanding, when you start to virtualize your servers, what happens is with the servers and the gear, when you start virtualizing those, you start decreasing the amount of physical boxes you have anyway. So that definitely helps you with space. But buy a big enough rack that's going to maintain all of your gear. Also, like I said earlier, make sure that you talk to your CEO and your CFO and say, look, this has to be a sealed room. It has to be air conditioned. So if you go into, you walk into a brand new job, you say, hi, my name is Jim Bob, and I'm your new, systems administrator. I'm your new technology director. Make sure that you do a good, positive assessment of that room, of your servers. Know where they're at when you get there, and draw a good, legitimate plan. You can't walk into any job and just say, we're doing. Have a plan and go and say, look, boss, you know, I know I'm new here and you hired me for my expertise. This is my plan. This is what I want to do. We need a server room. You know, we need to have air conditioning in that server room. You know, say, boss, your servers now are sitting out on the floor and anybody can get to those. They're not secure. You know, you got to worry about all this stuff. And as I said, we're going to talk about some computer and network and server security down the road a little bit. But make sure you get that room built first. It's very, very critical to do so. So now at this point, folks, we're going to go ahead and, sorry, I had to get a little drink there of the Samuel Adams Summer Ale. That's what the beer is tonight. We're going to go now, we're going to start talking a little bit about your backup batteries. These are areas that people don't put a lot of money into. They don't want to take a lot of time or effort to really study it. You think that you just buy a backup battery, plug it in, and it's okay. But there's a science involved here. There's reasons why backup batteries, some cost more than others, and there's a reason for that. It's not because they're better, they're bigger batteries, they may not even last longer. But there's very positive reasons, and we're going to talk about that right now. What you need to do, as we talked about that room plan, you also need to work on a plan for your backup strategy, your backup battery strategy, your backup electrical systems. Some companies are good enough, and they actually, I've worked for a couple companies where we actually put generator systems in outside. When the electric goes out, boom, the generators kick in. They start firing off, the amperages and the wattages you need and the voltage, and it fires it into your server room and it keeps everything humming along nicely. Well, most companies, we're going to talk about the real side of life, most companies do not have backup generators. Most companies today use backup batteries and they want their systems to run. And there's problems with that. And that's why the reason I think of cloud-based servers and the cloud-based storage, and we use cloud-based email. We'll talk about that in a minute. But that's why that stuff is so important and so pertinent out there, is because that you can actually take that that part away from you. If your servers drop down in 20 minutes, you don't really have to worry about it. And we'll talk about that in a minute. The first thing you want to do is look at your server racks. And then we looked at our switch racks, because in our server room, we have servers. And we have a ton of switches with a lot of networking cable coming into the server room. So you want to look at your overall power consumption, and you want to try to calculate that out in watts, okay, your total watts. If you're not sure how to calculate watts, folks, go to Google and type it in. You will see it. It's like volts times, you know, amperage, and you'll get your wattage. Most devices will tell you the maximum amount of wattage that they draw, and you will see that on there. Once you get that total wattage, what you want to do next is whip out the old calculator, because, hey, we're tech guys, right? We don't have the mathematical stuff flying around our heads. So whip your calculator out, open it up on your computer, and you can actually type it out. But take each wattage of your devices, and we're going to total that up. So let's say, for instance, if you have two servers running 80 watts apiece, okay, we know it's 160 watts. And if you have two switch racks running at, let's just make it simple, 80 watts a piece, that's 160, that's 320 watts altogether that we need. Now, here's the tricky part. when you're buying your backup batteries, don't buy one big enough to handle 320 watts. Buy one big enough to handle 200 watts or maybe 250, somewhere around there. Buy two of them. Put one on your server rack, put one on your switch rack. That way you have two very independent backup batteries and you're going to be a lot better off. You don't want to put a big load on one battery, because what happens then, and we've done it, so this is by experience, I bought a couple more switches or I buy a new server and I have that one battery. Guess what I just did? I overloaded it. So what happens was that backup battery is crushed. I got to buy more backup batteries anyway. So you're better off to buy a couple backup batteries, have them a little bit higher wattage than what you need today, because you're going to grow into them. And even if not, that'll give you a little bit more room and give it a little bit more power for a little bit more longevity, and they'll stay on a little bit longer for you. Okay, the next thing we're going to talk about the batteries is, as I said, don't overload. Make sure you have these batteries properly loaded. And they're nice enough. We use APCs, and they're really nice on the front because, and I'm sure most of them do have load indicators. When you plug too much in and that thing starts beeping at you and that red line goes straight up to the top, that says you have too much load. Take the load off the battery. You're crushing the battery and it's not going to last for you anyway. You're just killing it. And if that power goes out, your total, stay up time might be 5 minutes. Not really worth your while. The next thing is, and I've seen this before, well, we talked about tying your batteries, your switches, and your servers together. Don't ever do that. I've seen that. This is the one that always bugs me the most, is people that daisy chain batteries. Did you ever see this? I hope you're not doing this in your rack. You daisy chain your batteries. So they take one battery, and they take its output, and they plug another battery into it, and they take its output, and they plug another battery into that, and they take its output. Essentially, folks, you're using one battery backup. There's no reason for this. You're not getting, and people will argue with me about this, but you're not getting a longevity longer than what the batteries are wattage, because when that first one crashes, they're all going down. All right? It's not like that first one's going to go and say, oh, wait, go ahead, second one, you go. You can stay up. But the second one is plugged into the first one. So when it crashes, folks. It's dead. You can't use those backup batteries in a chain like that, in a daisy chain. Not going to work for you. Plug each battery in individually into your power. And what we had in our server rooms, we have a pretty good electrical staff. We asked them to bring us power sources off of different areas, because sometimes you'll have a breaker blow. Well, if one breaker blows in our switch, in our server, coming to our server room, very much we have that possibility that the other breakers are still going. So we have some of our batteries in our rack still running. We may lose one device or two devices. So you have to justify and you have to look at every part of your electrical system. Don't just buy a big battery and plug it in because it's the biggest one they sell and load everything up in there and plug it into one receptacle, because you don't have a good backup battery strategy. Okay, there's no strategy there. And I did it. That's the early forms of learning, folks. I've been doing this for almost 27 years. You gain experience as you do things, and you learn through a big power storm or a big electrical storm, and those backup batteries drop. You learn in the long run that you have to learn about backup batteries and have a good strategy. If nothing else, if you don't know, pick up the phone and call a vendor. We use CDW. We use Tiger Direct for some stuff. Call them up and say, hey, look, I need backup batteries. They have great people there, great engineering staff that will help you design things and engineer it out. So that is the daisy chaining. So it doesn't increase your overall time. The next things you want to have, and I was trying to think of a fancy way to say this, and I couldn't come up with anything, but you want to keep a log of your battery life. Batteries are just like these batteries and these things are getting a constant charge. It's a trickle charge, but they're getting a constant charge. So they do wear out. I don't like to wait until the backup, there's a beeper on that says beep, which means change your battery. And if you don't, guess what? You come in one morning and half your server rack's out because the battery just craps out. It warned you, says you need to change it. You're better off to keep a log. We usually hang ours on by the server rack or on the server rack, wherever it's hanging at any given time. We have them in each area where our switches are. And it is our backup battery logs. What we do there is we write down when we changed them last. You can even put a piece of tape on the battery. That helps. But we like to just pick up a rack or pick up a clipboard and I look at it. And I go down through my dates and know when my batteries have been changed. But these batteries need to be rotated out and changed every 3 years. I'm going to say they need to be changed. Don't rotate. I hate when people do rotation of stuff, especially technology equipment. Here's what happened in one company I worked at. We talked about backup tapes a few weeks ago. They rotated those tapes so much they actually just ripped apart the machine. Backup batteries, I've seen a company rotate them and rotate them. So every 3 years, you're putting the ones in you took out 3 years ago, you're rotating. That makes no sense whatsoever. You're taking out something that could fail and have a fault. You're putting it back in and putting it back into production. Very, very bad idea. Not good at all. So, the key points of backup batteries is know your consumption and wattages. We have to know that. We don't want to overload our batteries. Be very careful. Never tie your switches and your servers together. And folks, in my server right now, we have 6 physical servers. Now, we have about 19 virtuals on those, but we have 6 physical servers. So I have 2 APC backup batteries. And I bought the rack mounted ones, so I bought the high quality ones, you know. Pay a little bit of money for them. They're very, very heavy. Watch your back. But it's very important to get those. And we actually split our server racks down also. Now, the one part I wanted to tell you about that you really got to watch your backup batteries, and I know when we did it, and you may have an Exchange server or a email server. I never really, I've used Exchange, and I can use it, and I understand it. But I used a program called iMail from IP Switch. Even when I ran my internet business, I used the same iML package, and I love it. It works really well. When you have an email server in your rack, or when you're hosting your own websites in your server racks for your company, there must be an uptime of 99.9%. You cannot let the website is even one thing, but the email server is mission critical. Companies run on email. I know our schools run on email. That's how the teachers communicate. Now we're communicating with our children through it. Administration communicates with the teaching staff. Email is a vital part of any mission out there. So it's a mission critical device. It has to be up 99.9% of the time. You can't dither from that at all. I was on vacation once and a mail server blew. I flew back home and put a new mail server in because it's mission critical. You have to understand that. We're going to talk just a few minutes here about cloud-based servers and why I think it's really, really important. Some IT people out there get threatened by things, and what you get threatened by is, well, if I put everything in the cloud and I teach my company about the cloud, they won't need me anymore. Wrong. They need you. Believe me, they need you in a company. Even your Active Directory servers, your file storage units, your system backups, they need you there. But there are some things that you should not lay at home at night and worry about. One is your email system. Two is your web servers. If you can host those somewhere else, host them. And I don't care if you're using Office 365 from Microsoft. We personally, for our kids and our staff, we all use Google Apps. Most education facilities do use Google Apps. But I talk to a lot of tech directors from schools that still hang on to Microsoft Exchange because they feel that they're hanging on to a part of their job. What you're really doing is you're hanging on to some kind of history that you don't need. History is made to be overwritten and rewritten to do it better, right? We evolve as people, and we evolve as technicians. And if you don't allow yourself to progress, you're going to degress, okay? You're going to go backwards. And when you get that call at night and the CEO's yelling at you at 3 in the morning because he can't do an email because you have a power outage at your building, guess who's getting up, putting your clothes on, and going to work? Yeah, you are. Exactly. We pick up the phone and we call Google. We don't even have to do that because you know yourself. Google, like Microsoft 365, and I'm sure there's other companies out there will host your email. I know 1in1.com, who does all my web hosting for me. I pay them, but that's where all my web hosting goes through. They have multiple server racks, folks, in multiple locations, even in multiple states. So you think you have a couple backup batteries running your servers, and that's cool. That's working for you. But it's even better. It's even better. And we put this in front of our board when I went to Google Apps. We could never, ever pay for that kind of, uptime to have that. And that kind of repetitive out there to actually take those servers and have those spread across the U.S. and maybe even some other countries multiple power supplies. Our email is in so many places. I feel it's pretty damn safe to have that email out there. Very critical. The website is one of those, it's either up or down. But usually if you pay for email hosting, they will give you web hosting along with that. So it works very well to do that and to host that away from your server racks. Now, on the other hand, there is something people say about hosting your Active Directory or your mainline servers. We've had companies approach us and say, Jack, do you want to host your servers with us somewhere on the cloud? I have a problem with that, because if we would happen to lose our internet connection, and I know you're already saying about email, hold that thought. If we lose our internet connection, I don't want my users logging in the morning and not being able to get to their computer because that Active Directory server is in the cloud. Now, you're already saying, well, Jack, then what about that email you just talked about? The email, you don't need to log into your cell phones, right? We have our users using cell phones, iPads, Android tablets, Google phones, whatever, smartphones, and Chromebooks. So if they can open that device up and get on there, let's just talk cell phones right now, because they're using the cell tower. So even if our internet connection is down, they're still getting their email because it's hosted somewhere else. It's a win-win. You cannot lose by hosting that email somewhere else. Folks, I just wanted to put it out there to you. With that much anyway, one last thing that I was just thinking about. I've been working on an iPhone app, and I don't know if anybody out there watching the show or listening to the show does any programming or would be interested in making maybe an Android app for this show. And all it has to do basically is pull the RSS feed down from tipsfromtheserverroom.com, pull that RSS feed down, and actually bring those podcasts down. And then I have a couple of ways of contacting me. And I do almost have the iPhone application done. And I'm going to work right after that on the iPad application and release those for free if they approve them. Hopefully the app store, and I never used it before, so hopefully they approve it. And I'll be giving those apps away for your phone so you can pull this show even easier and listen to these podcasts. And I appreciate that. Let me just scroll down here a little bit. So, folks, I just want to wrap up this show with saying thank you very much for joining me here. Hope you've been enjoying the podcast. I hope you spread the word around. If you know other systems administrators out there, say, hey, you know, Jack's not a bad guy. He kind of knows what he's talking about. At least I hope I can give you a little bit of insight into not just your server rooms. We're going to be talking about a lot of networking stuff. I'm even thinking of having one night we're going to talk about how to put RJ45s on cables, because we intern a lot of people from local colleges. And colleges just don't seem to teach that part of networking. So we're going to talk about that, talk about some tools of networking, and just help you along the way a little bit and then maybe get you a little bit fresher. And on that note, if you wanted to learn more, like you really have a Windows Server 2008 or you're thinking about putting Server 2012 and you're going, man, I wish I just knew a little bit more to be comfortable before I do that. I offer Windows Server 2008 R2, Windows Server 2012, and VMware ESXi 5.1, which is the virtualization software, so you can virtualize your servers, and I offer those as online courses. You can sign up for one of my online courses at www.tipsfromtheserverroom.com, or if you just go to tipsfromtheserverroom.com. I never like that www, but anyway, look at the online classes. There's a link at the very top of the page. Click on that link. Now, these classes are very much self-paced. I never like to sign up for a course, and I've done a lot of these courses where, you know, you would sign up for a course like a Cisco course or something, and they say, you have 3 weeks to complete this course, and then you're busting butt trying to log in and trying to, I don't want to put that undue stress on you. You don't need that. These classes are self-paced. They've been already completed by hundreds and hundreds of folks. I've been in there. They've completed these courses. I always get very positive feedback. And the way it works is you just simply watch a video. And a lot of people say, well, Jack, I'll just go to YouTube. And you could, but these videos are very much in order from install to execution, all the way down through to setting up that server and getting it humming along and making your life easy. Once you watch the video, you take a little quiz. And at the end of the course, what's going to happen is you're going to earn a certificate of completion. You finish the course, I ask you for your mailing address, and I will mail this to you. I'm not one of these courses, and I've taken... Lately, I've taken a couple of these where you print it out yourself, and that's not right. I mean, I want to issue you the certificate, so I will mail that to your house. These certificates are great. I've had a few people say, Jack, I put these with my resume and it helped me get the job. They said it helped, and wonderful. I'm glad I can help you out that way. So once again, if you get a chance and you want to have a look, just go look at those courses. They're online, and it's at tipsfromtheserveroom.com. Click on the online classes, and again, take a look at those courses. So folks, I want you to go ahead and have a great, great work week for the rest of the week. And come back here next Tuesday for another live show. If you're not watching the live show, we've had a lot of viewers tonight, and I really appreciate you coming here tonight. It is catching on. I hope the chat room catches on with you folks later on. But these shows are live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Tuesday evenings. And it's on Justin, JUSTIN.TV/Jack's Tech Corner. Or if you go to the show's website, tipsfromtheserveroom.com, I actually put on top, you'll see a thing where it says live show, and I actually put it in there also, where you can click on that and you can watch me there. Also, if you want to watch this show, if you're listening to the audio podcast now, you say, I want to watch Jack talk. I don't know. I mean, I didn't demonstrate anything tonight, but by all means, you can do that because I will put the video up on my YouTube channel, and that video is at 42 Technoman is my YouTube channel, so check that out. So folks, once again, thank you so much for stopping by here. Please subscribe to the please subscribe to the iTunes feed there. I would really appreciate that. It helps move you up in the ratings. Maybe one day they'll say, hey, we need to pay you hundreds of thousands of dollars. I don't know that to be true. And if anything else, if you buy from Amazon, I do ask that you use my Amazon link on my webpage. Save it as a bookmark, and whenever you buy anything from Amazon, buy it through there, and those proceeds, it doesn't cost you any more money. But those proceeds help the show. Thank you so much, folks, and I'll see you back here next Tuesday for another Tips from the Server Room. Take care, and bye for now. You just listened to Tips from the Server Room with your host, Jack. If you have any questions, please drop me a comment at tipsfromtheserveroom.com. Thanks again for tuning in and downloading the shows. Now sit back, relax, and listen to the remainder of the music. We'll see you next week on Tips from the Server Room. So long.